So Revelation Road teaching, we're just going to go highlight the white horse, Revelation chapter 6, and then we're just going to expand on this thing, and maybe I can get to chapter or verse 3, I don't know, into the red horse. We'll see, because I got a lot of information to share with you. And so let's begin. Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb, that's Jesus, opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. So we're going to break that down in our notes again. Just basically, he saw and he heard a blast of thunder. Remember I gave you that word? It means to roar like a lion. So this is a very strong proclamation of what's happening. And the reason why it is so strong, in my view, is because what's going to happen from there forward is going to be some very heavy things. And it's not something that should be whispered. And many times when judgment comes in a very loud way, in a very pronounced way. So the first seal is opened with the roar of a lion from one of the living beasts, which again, it coincides with Matthew and what? The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Remember that we talked about in chapter 4? And we also talked about in the tabernacle where the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, or the whole tribe of Judah actually was. And then Jesus receiving that title. Okay? Some translations say that it was the first of the four beasts, not one of the beasts, but the first, which again, that would be that lion type of figure. So a lot of prophetic symbolism there that makes a lot of sense, and then it shows you the progression of God and where he's headed with this thing. Okay, he is a God of order, and if you read the book of Revelation properly, not that everything is in chronological order, but if you read it in the order of God, then you begin to understand a lot of the precepts that are in it, okay? That's why we can't take and cut and paste and try to make things fit. We got to see what God has to say and then match it with other things that he had to say in his word, okay? So I said this before, why doesn't God make it plain? If he did, people wouldn't study. The truth of the matter is, if he made things plain, people wouldn't study and try to find out the truth. They would just take it for granted and say, okay, well, this is going to happen. And then they would just move along and they wouldn't really care about things. But remember, it's God's initiative. It's his desire to conceal something so that we would go and try to find out. Then he has the joy of revealing it to us. Okay, he loves doing that. All right. So we're talking about the horsemen. I mentioned to you that there's five horsemen. Some of y'all swallowed your chewing gum, but I'm going to show it to you much later. It's not going to be in this teaching, but I want to keep throwing that out there for you, and I'm going to allow you to look at it and see what you think about it. Okay? Actually, there are six horsemen, but I'll just stick with the five. Jennifer's like, come on, man, you're making my brain melt. But there is six horsemen in the book of Revelation, but we'll just stick with this current ones that I want to teach on and then tell you about the fifth one. So, anyhow, we have to be careful, again, with dispensationalism. Our commentaries, such as Matthew Henry and others, not castigating them as great scholars, but they looked at things dispensationally and said that, you know, these were world figures. Talking about the horsemen, they have already came, they've already gone, and therefore a lot of things are already over. And that's just not so, okay? Remember, not a big deal, but where it says in King James, come, it should be go. Again, it's not a big deal, but it's just the way the words were. So the white horse, Lukos, is what I gave you the Greek. It's 30:22. It means brilliant light. Brilliant light, purity, peace, and victory. Okay? Remember, it had a bow with no arrows. It didn't show us any ammunition. It just said that it had a bow. Again, this is not Jesus. Some commentaries say this is Jesus. It is not Jesus, okay? And some of your teachers might have taught you that in the past. It is not. And I'll get into the comparison tonight that shows you it is not Jesus. No doubt about it, okay? And I explained that to you. I didn't give you the total yet about the crowns, but keep that in your mind. We're going to talk about the crowns and why that matters between this horseman and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Again, the seals were just open, so it's not Jesus, right? He doesn't open the seal then jump on a horse. He could, but he doesn't. He doesn't do that, okay? He just opened the seal, so he's not that horseman. These horsemen are God's horsemen, designed by God to carry out his business. Remember Zechariah 6:1, I gave you that. You don't have to go there, all right? Remember also that horses were workers. In the Old Testament, they were considered workers, but in the Old Testament, they also used oxen. That was more historic for those in the Middle Eastern times. The Jews would use oxen and mules. Okay, that was their choice beast. Then in the Orient, they would use horses. But here's something else you need to see that I'm going to add to this teaching tonight that you didn't get last time, is not only were they used for war, horses also represent judgment. I want to write that down in your notes because it means a lot, okay? They were also signs of judgment. Signs of judgment. So I'm going to pick up from last time right here. I know I was a little further, but I need to give you this new information and teach from this perspective, and then we'll be caught up totally. Okay, so he has a bow, but it has no weapon. So we're going to talk about that. We'll get to the crowns just a second. So he has a bow with no weapon, all right? And it mentions that he has that crown. Again, it's a crown of victory, and that's all I'll say for right now. But what is interesting about this, and I want to lay this all out in a picture that you can understand, this is a white, brilliant horse. Pure. It has light. It's brilliant. It shows innocency in many ways because of, you know, we've always heard that the good cowboys wear a white hat. Is that right? Stuff like that. We remember that from Gene Autry and whatever. Cowboys always wore the white hat. But this horse and horseman is different because his assignment is to deceive. His assignment is to conquer, for he went forth conquering and to conquer. But he's not conquering with a bow and arrow. He's not using necessarily a weapon that has the ability to be used, but he has a show of force. Now, how many of y'all know that you can deceive somebody by an outward appearance? Come on. And there be nothing behind that appearance that can produce the force. I remember when I was, as a kid, you used to play stick 'em up. And you put it in your coat pocket. Well, that's a finger. Everybody knows a finger. You know what I mean? But if it's on your back and you don't know, remember the movies? Come on, somebody. I know it's black and white, but you remember the movies? And, stick 'em up. The guy goes, you got me. You got me. You know, and he had a finger. It was pretty deceiving, wasn't it? But it felt real for a second there. It's that same type of concept, but I want to show you something that I discovered that I thought was very interesting. This particular word bow, and I'm going to throw this out there, it's kind of conjecture, it's something for you to think about, okay? We're going to put this all together. But that word bow there in the Old Testament, when you look that word up, it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 9:3, which deals with the bow, the rainbow, that God made as a covenant with Noah. Remember, he said, I'll never flood the earth again, and he made a covenant. So this individual has a bow. Now, we know the bow is a type of weapon, but it also represents covenant. So if you go back to Old Testament and you see that word, it represents, it says a weapon, but it also says a rainbow. So it's a symbol of covenant. So this white horse and this rider is bringing about a false covenant, a false agreement to give peace unto the earth. Now, as I studied this and I thought about it, I said, okay, that's interesting. Rainbow. Okay, so we know God's never going to flood the earth again, but we also know that there's a particular part of society that uses the rainbow, come on now, as a false symbolic, a symbol for them of their lifestyle. Talking about the homosexuals and lesbianism and all these other things that are out there that go underneath this rainbow. So it was very interesting in this total picture that this white horse is conquering the earth without using weapons. What is he doing? He's using compromise and deception. Deception leads to compromise. And so I thought about it. I said, okay, that's an interesting thought to throw out there for you. Because in the totality of what this white horse is doing, he's doing things through economies. He's doing things through political things. He's doing things through ecumenical systems. He's totally using what's available to deceive humanity into thinking they're at peace. Remember, false peace can be the guy who's worshiping New Age deities, thinking he's worshiping God, and he feels like he's at peace. Help me, church. How many times you've read stories of superstars and whatever, that they struggled with their past demons and alcoholism and drug addiction, and then they went to this meditation class and they found peace. They got a new guru from India and now they're at peace. It's a false peace. And so I'm trying to build a case for you to see that this Antichrist system, this beast system on the white horse, has conquered people, even the church, with a false peace. And so I thought that was interesting because it dealt with a rainbow. Go to Daniel chapter 8, verse 25. Let's look at something else that I thought was interesting. And you could take it for what you will. In my opinion, this is all inclusive of what the enemy's trying to do. Okay? Watch this. And through his policy, his what? Policy, talking about who? The Antichrist. He also shall cause craft to prosper in his hands. All kinds of craft. Witchcraft. All right? His policies, they're all prospering. And he shall magnify himself in his heart. What does that mean? Pride. He'll have pride. So you got the rainbow and you got pride, right? And peace shall destroy many. How does peace destroy many? I thought peace was good. No, excuse me? Say it. Deception, exactly right. And I was going to add, that's a good job, girl. That doesn't bother me at all because it helps me jump off what I want to say. More destruction is done through peace treaties than war itself. Because most peace treaties are done hastily. People are tired of war. They're tired of bloodshed or another side lost and they give in or what have you. And there becomes more destruction through a lot of peace treaties. We can look at things that the American government has done over the years through different conflicts that we entered into peace treaty. Had we defeated the enemy, the situation would be different today. And democracy, quote unquote, and freedom, quote unquote, would be in certain nations. And I don't have time to go into the geopolitical things of it. I can just use Cuba as an example. If you want to do that, things we could have done way back when we didn't do. And so we made a type of an agreement that is now grievous today. Is that right? Absolutely. We could have dealt with it then. We could have went through the pain of the moment. And then we would have a whole different situation. That's just one example. Vietnam and so many others we can go into, but we're not going to do that. So through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many, and he shall also stand up against the prince of peace, or the prince of princes, excuse me, but he shall be broken without hand. God wins, doesn't he? Okay, so go back to Revelation chapter 6. So that's when you see this, It says he conquers and he's conquering. He's continuously doing it. We know this is the Antichrist. This is the Antichrist system. Now let me ask you something. Is he riding now? Yeah. Is he out of the barn? Yes, absolutely. He's moving. Now, is he moving through these policies I just mentioned? The gay and lesbian policy and agenda is just one. It's just one. We can talk about transgenderism. We can talk about atheism. We can talk about Chrislam in the church and Chrislam in schools or Islam itself in school or New Age teachings that are in the church. They're in the school. They're in our policies. They're in the State Department. They're in our military. See, all of this mess, if you will, is done by the white horse. It's causing deception. And when deception comes, watch this, there also comes disarmament. You know, if Mike wants to fool me and tell me he's just my friend, which I think we're friends, but you know, if we're friends and he deceives me and I disarm myself and I put down my guard and I say, well, he's my friend. But his intentions are not. And he wants to, you know, he wants to take this shirt from me. I don't know. You know, I'm going to disarm myself. How many of you have ever disarmed yourself because somebody said they loved you? Let's do that. You become exposed. You become vulnerable. You let your guard down. Women, you know what I'm talking about. And the next thing you know, you just got a lemon. That's a small example. It's probably not the best example. But the reality is when we're deceived, we disarm ourselves. And that's exactly what this white horse has done over the ages, over the decades, over a long period of time. And it has worked perfectly because now the church is disarmed. The church embraces everything now. Come on in, everybody. Be politically correct. Don't talk about this. Don't talk about that. That's taboo. You know, embrace this new thing. This is a trend. This is all culture. Deal with it. And it's caused us to disarm ourselves to where now we just allow anything to come into our lives. And I don't have time. And those watching, you know the statistics I've read. You're already aware of all the decline of the church. The decline of the church. So this piece, this false peace that he's bringing, again, it's not through war. It's not through war. It's through deception. So it also means to conquer means to subdue, to overcome, and to prevail. Okay? So let's, he sat on him, had a bow, and watch this, a crown was given. Everybody say given. A crown was given to him. That means he was given the authority. It was leased authority. It was lended authority. He didn't have it, but God gave it to him. Remember that. If you look at the book of Revelation and you look at all these things that are going to happen, God lets it happen for his own purpose. That's why the seven seals are what? The will of God. He's holding it, and he opens that first seal, and he said, this is my will. I'm going to let people be deceived if they want to be deceived. Remember, he says that he will allow strong delusion to come upon people. And we're seeing it, but I think there's more delusion to come. I think there's going to be some really wild things to come in the coming days where people are going to be completely caught off guard. And because they already believe things that are false, they're going to believe this lie that's coming. You say, what is it? There's a lot of things. Just to give you an example, this whole UFO thing, and it's really gaining steam in the world, and from the Vatican all the way to the Pentagon, to the White House, people are admitting, you know, there's somebody out there. You know, Mork and Mindy are floating around. We know it's demon power. And many of us that are Bible teachers or what have you, prophecy teachers, we believe that that type of revelation is going to be very detrimental, and it's going to obviously bring a lot of people away from the cross. So we have some very treacherous revelation road that's before us. And that's just a little bit of what's coming at us. Okay? So this is the Antichrist and his system. And it, listen, this horse, this system is able to affect all areas of society. All areas of society. Let me give you another one, economics. There are so many people, because they got a little bit of money in the bank or what have you, they've got some stimulus coming, this or that, they think in their minds that everything is fine with the economy. When in reality, it's deception. It's not okay. The Bible explains it very, very pointedly about being a slave. If you are a debt, if you're in debt, you're a slave. It shows it. So if we are in debt as a nation, besides a people, we're slaves. Help me, church. Don't go to work tomorrow and see if you're walking in about a month or two. Come on now. You quit your job or whatever. You got to pay your bills. All right? So many things we don't have time to get into. But society. So the white horse is a counterfeit to Jesus. You want to write that down. It's a counterfeit to Jesus. All right? It's a counterfeit Prince of Peace. It just said right there in Daniel that we just read about the Prince of Princes. Here he is coming as a false Prince of Peace. I'm telling you, this is amazing, because I'm just going to use this decade of the 90s as an example. You could pick other decades, but in the decades of the 90s, the prosperity was off the charts. The church was just flowing. I was just getting into ministry, and mega churches were popping up all around America. Pastors were getting six figures, which was never heard of before. Besides, you know, some in the 80s that had mega ministries then, but it just really started to become rampant and very popular. People were buying homes. There was all kinds of this prosperity that was happening in our country, and it seemed as though we were at peace. There were a few conflicts, some things in the world that were going on, but in general terms, those of you that were older in that time, the 90s were pretty decent times. People were doing well. And then what happened? 9/11. The beginning of the 2000s. And then the financial collapse. And things really started rubbing. The brass tacks. It started getting really full of friction. And then we started noticing crazy things more and more. Well, that false peace, again, was deceptive. And it made many people regress. They regressed. The church went from spiritual warfare to prosperity and faith message. I know, because I watched it. They went from praying hard and interceding and sending missionaries to the world to building your new home and becoming the best person you can be right now. It's the truth. And we were lulled to sleep. Is that the white horse? Yes, absolutely. Anything you can think of in society today that pulls us away from warfare, that pulls us, I'm talking about spiritual warfare, that pulls us away from being aggressive towards God and relationship, or passion is a better word, anything that pulls us away and brings us down is part of that system of the Antichrist. Okay? How do I know this? How can I prove this to you? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Let's look at this. Everybody still alive? All right. That's a good thing. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world?" Okay, Jesus, you got us curious. You know, you said this whole thing's going to fall down. It's going to be, you know, no stone left upon another. Inquiring minds want to know, right? Tell us what it is. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that what? No man deceive you." Isn't it funny that Matthew chapter 24, which is a blueprint for what's going to happen in the book of Revelation, begins with deception. The first seal that he opens up speaks of a white horse that is not him, but a counterfeit, so it speaks of deception. Is that right? Yes, that's exactly right. And so we see that whatever is coming down the pike, as far as deception is concerned, is designed by the enemy to pull us away from the exact plans of God. No different than all this mumbo jumbo stuff out on the internet that pulls us away, tries to put us way into Revelation chapter 13 or put us somewhere else and put us in fear. It's deception to keep us from our focus, okay? So Jesus said, let no man deceive you. And remember, and I can prove it to you, and I will as we go along, Matthew chapter 24 is basically in sequence with this particular unsealing of the seals. And I'll show it to you as we go along, okay? Remember this too. This is the first sign of his coming. Check this out. Is the first seal open? Yes. Is the white horse riding? Yes, has been. Is he conquering through peaceful means? Yes. Is Jesus coming? Yes. It's a sign to say, okay. And now, here's the deal. Remember, prophecy is progressive. Prophecy is progressive, especially with the book of Revelation. So it's progressive. That means he's been doing this for so long now, but I'm talking about the Antichrist and this white horse, but now it's coming to a full gallop. I mean, it's increasing. You can't even go on the television today without watching something or hearing something or an interview by somebody who tries to put on you stuff of the world and try to deceive you, especially our children. Our children are getting bombarded, absolutely bombarded. So there's no doubt in my mind that this is the Antichrist system, the beast system, the whole nine yards of the enemy, and it will only intensify as we go. Okay? So the Antichrist system is using deception to overcome the world. He's also using politics. Let's touch on that for a second. He's using politics to conquer. He's using politics to conquer. You look at our nation today, we're headed into deeper socialism. We always had a type of quasi-socialism in our country. When you look at some policies and you pull back some of the democracy fillers and whatever that we put on it, but in a lot of ways we've embraced socialism. Now we're openly embracing socialism, and it's going to get even worse. And maybe I'll bring some of that out this Sunday, some stuff I just read. But that's what's happening. So the politics and policies of our governors, our leaders, whatever, I'm not just talking about America, we're talking about the world, is bringing people into a position to where they're conquered. Think about COVID for a second. How do you take a people planet like this with how many, 7 billion people or so is on the planet, and you literally control them all to not go anywhere. You know, you couldn't travel in places you still can't travel. And on it has gone. They were able to do this controlling through politics, through policy, through legislation, through law, through force. Okay? But again, that is the Antichrist type of system. He overcomes the world and he uses false peace. Okay? Again, false peace has been used to weaken the church. Oh, pastor, you need to calm down on the way you talk. You know, you have to be careful with certain people groups because you're going to hurt them. Help me, church. You know, you can't talk about Brother Big Bucks and his affairs that he's having because we really need the money for the new gymnasium. Help me now. You know that's the truth. And I'll be like, he can tip on out all he wants because, you know, if he's in it, we're going to talk about it. All right? So it's causing, again, us to compromise without a fight. You want to write down ecumenical and humanistic. Ecumenical and humanistic. That's another way that he's doing it. Ecumenical means through church gatherings to where of all faiths, we just get along and sing Kumbaya. We have guru Hakamashaka over here. We've got Bishop so-and-so over here. We've got Bahaya, whatever, from the Buddhist temple. I mean, on and on it goes. I'll just make up names. I have no idea. But they all get together holding hands, and we're praying in the interfaith for our God to hear us. I mean, I see that stuff, and I want to puke. Right. I want to absolutely puke. I'm like, are you serious? But there's people who buy into it who say they're believers. Okay? And then the humanistic side of things. Again, humanistic. Let's be humanistic. Let's be human about it. Let's be human. You know, I'm a human too, but I'm born again believer. And my Bible tells me if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're going to split hell wide open. So you can be human all you want, but you're going to die if you don't get right. Okay? But they do that. That's part of the policies. That's part of politics. It was injected, infused into our children. And I'm not making fun of millennials, but you know, we know millennials in our family, and they were just indoctrinated in their schools to just, you know, embrace everybody, diversity, 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 diversity. There was no individuality. There was no absolutes. There was no Bible, no truth. And therefore, you had to embrace everybody. What that did was it made in their minds and in their hearts an indelible mark that that's how they're going to live. So when you preach to them these truths, it's alien to them, and they reject it because they're like, oh, you're being harsh. You're trying to hurt. You're a hater. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You even your family, the younger ones, look at you like, well, Grandma, you were pretty rough on them, ain't you? You know, give them a chance. You know, all that stuff we hear. And it's like, honey, I'm just trying to tell you the Bible. Do you understand? And so, again, you say, Pastor, how do you get this out of the white horse? Because that's exactly what he has done. That's exactly what he's doing. And he's increasing through transgenderism and all this other stuff in our schools and indoctrinating our children. And they're letting down their guard. Watch this. Through deception, they're letting down their guard to protect their own identity. They can't even protect their own identity. They can't even protect their own innocency, their own sexuality, their own anatomy. Everything has now been disarmed, and they become disrobed by this power. And you may have never heard it taught this way, but that's exactly what this horse is doing. It's not just some horse riding around with a bow, you know, across the earth, you know, just to ride because he ain't got nothing better to do. No, it tells you what he's doing. He's conquering. Okay? All right. Remember what 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, peace and safety, then what? Sudden destruction comes. That's not just for the Jews, and people have used it all the time, said, well, that's talking about the Jews. But no, that's not necessarily so. Peace and safety. Just about the time that you think everything's all peaceful and we're safe, here comes the enemy. Just when you disarmed yourself, just when you disrobed yourself of your armor that God gave you, the full armor, here comes the enemy. Is that right? Another form of ecumenical deception is progressive Christianity. I've preached on that for several years now. Progressive Christianity, what is that? Progressive Christianity looks at the Bible, does not take it literally, but takes culture and transforms Scripture to fit the trend of the day and make that a truth. In other words, there's no absolute that God doesn't say what he says now because he was only talking to them then. That's a mouthful, but that's exactly what they do. And they say the same thing about the virgin birth. They say that about homosexuality and all these different things. And so progressive Christianity is with the times. Hey, man, I'm progressive, man. I'm progressive. No, you're regressive. Okay, you're regressing. You're falling back. Okay? So that's another thing. Is that part of the white horse of this system? Yeah. Conquering the church, conquering people. Okay? Remember, we go back to the bow. Deception comes through what? Words. Deception comes through words. Deception comes through false actions. So we know that the words that have been taught to us and policies and propaganda that's been thrown into our minds has affected us and has made us compromise. I wrote this down. White is not always right. Just like the movies, again, the white hat, he's the right guy, he's right and all that. No. Okay? More damage is done by peace, treaties, and covenants than war. Okay? 2 Thessalonians talks about the apostasy, and then there's coming the revealing of the Antichrist. We're not going to go into that because we already taught that before. But that apostasy comes, and then there's that deception that follows. Again, that's a part of the Antichrist being revealed. So let's go to the comparison to the white horse. Can we do that real quick? See how far I can get. Maybe I can get into a portion of the red horse. Okay. Watch this. You got to write this down or put it in your mind. Revelation 6. So we have the white horse. He has a bow, no arrows, and a crown. Here's the word for crown. It's the Greek 4735, and it's Stephanos. Stephanos. S-T-E-P-H-A-N-O-S. Stephanos. Okay? What does that mean? It means to be a wreath. It's a wreath. Just like somebody would get back in, it comes from the Olympic times. They gave them some type of wreath on their head. Like you put on the door. You ever put one of those from the door on your head? I have. It's a great Christmas party, by the way. And that was before Christ. But I was like, hey, how do I look? Like an idiot. All right. It also means a winner's crown. It's a winner's crown. What did he say? It was given unto him. So he's given this crown. He's given this authority. He's given this wreath. Okay? So remember, it's limited and it's leased. He doesn't have total authority, but he has it for this moment. Okay? And he has that wreath. Why? To give him the ability to conquer. Conquering to conquer. Now, Revelation 19:11. Go there real quick. And let's do our comparison. Now we're comparing the two white horses to show you that Revelation 6 is not Jesus. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a what? A white horse. And he that sat upon it was called what? Faithful and true. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. Who is that? Jesus. That's Jesus. This other is not Jesus. Okay? So let's look at this now. We have a white horse, right? Have a white horse, and he sat upon it, and he's faithful and true. Go to the next one. Let me see if verse 12, I want to read that. And the flame of fire in his head were how many crowns? Many. Were they, let's see, were the crowns given to him? Were they given to him? I don't see given, do you? Go back to 11. I'm doing this for a reason. I don't see given, do you? No, he wasn't given. Because here's why. You ready? Stephanos was the wreath, right? Here you go. He's a white horse, many crowns. He has a name written. He has a sharp sword, not a bow. And the word crown, 1238, is diadem. Diadem. What does that mean? Diadem is a crown of royalty. It's a crown of royalty. It's a ruling crown. So the first white horse of Revelation 6 has a winner's crown. He gets it. It's given to him. This here is a ruling crown. I own it. Nobody gave it to me because I is. He was, he is, he forever will be. He's the beginning and the ending. He's faithful and he's true. So the Greek words don't even match. Okay, Jesus would not receive a wreath. He's already wore a crown of thorns to gain the diadem. That'll preach right there. Okay? Here's another fact, is that Jesus never is associated with a bow. Revelation 6 has got a bow. Revelation 19 has what? A sword. Is that what it says? Go to the next verse. Flame with fire, head with many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew it but himself. What's the next thing? His clothes were dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Let's go to next. And his armies which were in heaven followed him and clothed in fine linen, white and clean. But in other places you will find that he has that sword. What comes out of his mouth? That's the Word of God. That's the sword. In the next verse, And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. So that's him. He doesn't have a bow. He uses the words of his mouth. Isn't that cool? So I wanted to show you that comparison because, again, we've been taught, oh, that's Jesus, and then nobody tells us how and why is that Jesus. Well, it's not Jesus in Revelation 6. It is the Antichrist system, and Jesus does come on that white horse, and he is that sixth horse, fifth to some people, but I don't want to get you messed up till that comes. Okay, Revelation 6 is a prophetic outline that leads to Revelation 22. You might want to remember that. Revelation 6 is a prophetic outline that leads to Revelation chapter 22. Seal number one begins with deception. You got to remember that too. Seal number one begins with deception. Okay, 1 John 2:18. Let's look at that real quick. And then I think I got time to throw some more at you. 1 John, verse 2:18? Yeah. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist, what? He shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. I'll stop right there. There's so many other verses I can bring you to. But basically, the Antichrist system and the spirit has been around for a long, long time. Now, we're waiting for the manifestation of the son of perdition. We're waiting for the manifestation of the Antichrist himself, personified, if you will, and that's coming later on, and we'll see in the book of Revelation. But that spirit, that system, has been moving through the earth. It has just now been intensifying. So as I move away from the white horse, and you get to see why it took me, you know, almost two times to get together, is because there's a plethora of information, again, that proves it is the Antichrist system and that it is absolutely increasing in our lives. Now, do these horses operate simultaneously? Yes, they operate simultaneously. In other words, one doesn't do his job and he goes in the barn. They continue to do their job and they will be in sequence, and maybe one will not be so intensified as the other one intensifies, and that's fine. And we'll see that as we move through progressive prophecy and progressive revelation. But the case I want you to see is that it is something continuous. So I can and somewhat agree with former commentators that this dealt with past events and past things. Sure, no problem. One example for a commentary is they said this deals with the popes and all that. Okay, in part and portion, sure, it did with deception that was brought on the earth through Catholicism and other things. I can accept that. But you have to look at it in the broad picture and then look at where we are today. We have never been this deceived. We can't even trust our politicians. We can't trust our preachers. We can barely trust our teachers. On and on it goes. You know, if you get pulled over by law enforcement, have every camera on. Is that right? I don't care what color you are, but you know what I mean. It sometimes is worse in other communities, and we know it. There's no hiding it. So all this stuff is an increase, and we have to be aware of that. Okay, so we pull away from that. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6, verse 3. Can I get 5 minutes in, maybe? All right. Lady in the front row said sure. Okay, here we go. And we had opened the second seal, I heard the beast say, or the living creature, actually it should be translated go, but it says come and see, okay? And there went out another horse that was red. Everybody say red horse. So there's two horses out, right? So that's two seals. Has the second seal been broken? Absolutely. We believe that it has because this horse is riding. Now here's what I want you to see here. In the Greek, the word for red is 4450, and I'm going to spell it for you. It's P-U-R-R-H-O-S. P-U-R-R-H-O-S. Pahoros. This is interesting because the color, When you see red, you think of fire engine red, pretty much. But the definition of this red is flaming fire. It's a flaming fire. Now, you all know fire is not always red. It has all kinds of mixtures of color, yellows and what have you. So it's a color of a flaming fire. So Jesus opens the second seal, and a fire begins to come upon the earth. This fiery horse. Now watch this. The white horse causes the deception, right? The father of all lies. John 8:44. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay? So deception begins to run rampantly. But fire, here's what you need to see. Fire represents wars, it represents riots, it represents unrest, and it represents chaos. A lot of times when you hear the red horse, everybody just says it's war. It's not just war in itself. So let's look at this, and I'll break that down a little more. And there went out another horse that was red, flaming fire, and power. Really, the word power is not in the original Greek. But that's okay. They threw it in there. Power was given. What was it? Given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. To take peace from the earth. So now we have this red horse. Okay, this fiery horse. And he begins to take away peace from the earth. What peace? The peace that the false counterfeit Jesus Antichrist system sold to people, he took that peace away. Okay? And what was in given in lieu of that? It was wars, riots, unrest, and chaos. Now the word peace, 1515 in the Greek, is irane. E-I-R-E-N-E. Irane. It doesn't seem like it's pronounced that way, but that's how it's pronounced, believe me. E-I-R-E-N-E. Here's what it means. It means a state of national tranquility. Peace between individuals. It also means security, and it means prosperity. So, the white horse gives a false tranquility, a false peace, peace among one another. Can't we all just get along? You know, this national unity, again, going back to ecumenical things of Chrislam, and, you know, can't we just get along with Islam, give them jobs over there, the terrorists, and can't we all just work together, and maybe we can have communism and socialism mixed in with democracy, and all of these different things, and it was a type of compromise. But then it says this red horse comes to steal that peace, to take away that tranquility. Okay? He is taking these things away from one another. Now, let me stop for a second. Think about our world today. Think about our world today. Are we at peace? No. We're not at peace with one another. Families have never been this divided than I've ever seen in my young life. We're at each other's throats. We're, you know, they're shooting people over a mask. Before it was a bad burrito and cold fries. Now it's telling them to put on a mask. In the airplanes today, I've been reading about the passengers are completely unruly. They're off the chain. I don't even want to fly now. I think I'm going to walk to, you know, wherever. It's just an amazing thing. You say, I thought this was all about war. It's more than that, and I'm going to show it to you. All right, so it's pulling away, okay? Then it says right here, it takes peace from the earth that they should do what? Kill one another. Kill one. This is not just war. This is continuous progression, and we're watching the killing take place. Here's what the word means in the Greek, 4969, shaphazo, S-P-H-A-Z-O, shaphazo. What does it mean? You ready? To slay, to slaughter, and to butcher. to put to death by violence, mortally wound, and to destroy. Is that not happening in our country today? It is absolutely happening all around our country and around the world. And I'm going to read to you just a few statistics, and then I'm going to get out of your way. But from deceptive peace to the flaming fire of violence and butchery, that's what's happening today. The Taliban, just over in Afghanistan, they just slaughtered over 22 Afghan commandos as they tried to surrender. Just butchered them right there in front of all the people of the town. Look at Haiti. Haiti is in the brink of anarchy right now. Violence, and people have died there. Cuba is not at the point yet of tremendous violence, but it's a shaking that's going on. All over the world this is happening. In Lebanon it's happening. In Iraq it is happening. Is anybody here? It's a state of war. You need to write that down. It's a state of war. And I just read today that over in, somebody just mentioned South Africa. South Africa, I didn't even know this, but they're having riots right now where 72 people, as of this morning, are dead. In South Africa, and rioting. There's unrest all across the world. I think France is having some riots right now. And what's taking place in Canada? See, this is not just war. This is not just army versus army, tanks against tanks. This is people against people, killing one another. Okay? So this is not a... Here's what I wrote down. It's a state of war, but it's not always the same or in the sense of a movie. See, we look at prophecy and we say, okay, it's got to be a movie. It's got to be like a movie, man. The military comes in, and then they're fighting, and there's a ground war, and then there's the war by sea, and then the war by planes and air, you know, and it's all systematic. That's not what this is. This is a combo. This is taking the whole world, and from the time this seal has been opened, and looking at all the slaughter that has taken place, and the butchery. Think about it. Think about the mass killings. Let me just read this to you, and I'm going to stop. Okay, it's a progressive reality. That's what you must understand about these horsemen. It's a progressive reality. Nearly 150 fatalities and 400 shooting incidents just over the July 4th weekend in America. Nearly 150 people died. Over 400 incidents of shooting just over a weekend, holiday weekend. That's not slaughter. That's not butchery. That's not bloodshed. That's not killing one another. Absolutely it is. So I want you to shift as we get away tonight. I want you to shift away from that conventional teaching and broaden your mind. Again, they had the revelation they had when they wrote these commentaries. But we have reality. We're living what they didn't live. And so now we can see a little clearer. And then I'll end with this. And that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Everybody say, great sword. And I'm going to catch up next week with what that means. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach and just to learn, Father. And help us to realize that prophecy is progressive. That this is a progressive reality for us. It's moving forward in real time. It's happening right before our very eyes. So that we don't get caught up, Father, in being traditional and conventional. And then we lose sight of what you're doing right now. We bless you. We love you. And we look forward to Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I love you. I'll see you then. Blessings.